On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we are crying out for mummy, or rather, mummies, in Mark Gatiss' festive frightener, A Ghost Story for Christmas, colon, lot number 249 on BBC Two. We're calling Miss Jackson and, frankly, asking her why her ex was a Greek god in Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney+. And we're also heading back to the 5th century for a rather grimier take on the Arthurian legend with The Winter King on ITVX. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, more specifically, the last regular Pilot TV podcast of 2023. Yes, you're going to have to fend for yourselves slightly over the festive period, as you won't have us to bodily throw ourselves in front of televisual bullets for you. But don't worry, we will leave you relatively well-equipped, well, as well-equipped, I guess, as we can before you head off for Christmas. And joining me today, as you would hope, nay, demand, are the two other pointy corners in Pilot TV's equilateral triangle. First up, a woman so entirely consumed with festive cheer, she demanded a hard out during the last Pilot Plus recording so she could attend a modest local carol concert. It's Kay Ribeiro.
Hello. Okay, he's taking the piss out of me because I wanted to leave as I was going to see carols at St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yeah, just a little local shindig. Who was doing a readings? Was it Joanna Lumley?
It was J-Lo. It was meant to be Benedict Cumberbatch as well and Richard E. Grant, but they were no-shows. But we had some great people. We had Vanessa Redgrave, you know, all the greats were out.
Where was Cumberbatch? What was his excuse?
Don't know.
Unbelievable.
No-show. But, you know, he could have been ill, so we don't want to, berate him too much. But it was delightful. Candlelights.
Also with us, I should say, is a man who learned to his detriment that even having Russell Tovey on speed dial cannot save you from the capricious nature of transatlantic flight delays. It's Boyd Hilton. How you doing, Boydy? Has the jet lag lifted?
Not really. This is the worst jet lag I've ever had for some reason. And I think it might be to do with, if I get into the story of my flight cancellation.
So for all of you listening, Boyd, and honestly, brace yourself, if you're not sitting down, you might want to sit at Boyd.
Oh, gosh.
Had to travel economy.
No, that's not true.
That's actually not true at all. No. He didn't. No. Don't be ridiculous. No. He would never travel economy.
No. I feel sort of okay because Kay's heard this story. If I'm going to tell the story.
Listen, let's not pretend you're not going to talk about the story. And that's fine. But I would say, listeners, this is probably the fifth or sixth time I've heard it. But
strap in for everyone who isn't Kay. Let's hear the story.
It also relates to what we've been watching.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because
doubling up.
One of the things I watched on the 4-hour four-hour wait on the runway while the air conditioning was attended to by a team of engineers. That's the initial reason why the flight couldn't take off.
So you were you were physically on the
physically
plane,
on the
waiting
plane,
to take off.
Waiting to take off.
His
4 hours.
His private jet, by the way.
Four hours. During which time, though, I did watch a really good TV series, which I will talk about properly in the What We're Watching section after this story. I'll tell the short version.
A bit
basically,
like Jack and Rory at the moment.
What happened was that I was supposed to fly back Sunday evening, 6:30 p.m., from JFK to London, so that I'd arrive 6:30 a.m. the next day, giving me a full day of work because I had to read proofs of Heat's Christmas Double Issue.
The busiest week in the Heat calendar, double issue.
But I had it all timed so that it would be perfect. You know, when my flight landed, give me time to go back home, settle in, recover.
And attend the event in the evening.
Attend the Doctor Who screening in the evening, exactly. Exactly. Well, that was the whole plan. And then, of course, what happened was that there was a mixture of the worst rainstorm in recent New York memory to the point where there was flood warnings in Manhattan itself, like on TV the night before. I was like, oh, I didn't plan for this. Like, and I kind of checked the weather and it was really lovely all the way through. It was sharp, you know, sunny, bit chilly, but fine. And then Sunday morning, like, oh, by the way, there's going to be biggest rainstorm for years and years in the New York area. And, you know, people are advised not to drive. This, and I thought, oh, God. So I booked in a kind of an early taxi to take me to the airport quite early to take that into account, I thought. And the rain hadn't begun properly yet. But by the time we were on the plane with this delay, the storm had properly gathered pace, and it was just torrential outside the window, you know, while we were waiting for this fucking... So it was a mixture of this technical fault and this weather, and that basically after 4 hours of waiting, the pilot just came on and said, I'm so sorry, but it's got to the point where it's not safe to take off anyway with this weather.
Now, before you feel too bad for him, remember he is in, like, the deluxe seats, right?
So what are we talking about? Are we talking business? Are we talking business premium? Business class.
Isn't busy.
Business mm-hmm. class. Which, by the way, I pay for accrued points over many years of
travel.
Oh,
no, listen, we know there are a lot of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this.
I didn't shell out actual money. I was using my points, my Virgin points.
The Tovey points that you get given, yes.
As they're called now, apparently. But so it could have been much worse. Yeah, ultimate first world problems of sitting there in a lovely seat.
Yeah, sipping champagne.
Literally sipping champagne as well.
Oh my God, no, you
for
didn't
4 hours.
That.
And then,
you are a ridiculous human being.
Yeah, here's a little detail. When they finally decided that this flight was properly cancelled and we would have to troop off the plane, they gave us the option of eating our meal, having our meal, with the stewards.
On the tarmac?
Yeah, on the tarmac. And I thought, that's just too weird. I can't do that. And so I was with me and the people who trooped off. But some people stayed back.
They said you could stay on the plane and have your food.
Because, you know, in business class, it's really nice.
Why didn't you stay and have the food?
I just thought I initially thought I would, then I changed my mind. I just got to sort out where you're going to stay in the whole thing.
Do they not sort out where you're going to stay?
So this is the thing.
James,
this is the crux.
Why would you ask that?
This is the crux.
Right. Okay.
This is the crux
of
the story.
Oh my God, they didn't trumpet you in the Four Seasons, did they?
No. This is the crux of the story, if only. So we all trooped off, we get back to the terminal, and these poor, I felt so sorry. I have to say, the crew were brilliant. They were really apologetic. They were gutted. These Virgin, you know, operatives walking around, kind of giving us a piece of paper. And basically, everyone's bewildered. No one really knows what to do. But the one Virgin says, right, you know, they have to pay for your accommodation for the night until you find out. Yeah. Basically, they were like, go to this hotel and we've booked some rooms. You'll be fine. You'll get free food and drink. Or if they charge you, just, you know, get your receipts and we'll pay it. We'll pay for the taxi there, like 10 minutes away. And this bloke literally showed me, he goes, this is it's called the JFK Hilton. And, you know, go there 10 minutes away in a taxi. It'll be fine. And then you wait when you're there for instructions from us as to which flight we've booked you into to take you back, and we'll email you or we'll update your app and all that. So, okay, that sounds reasonable.
We're on the journey with him.
So this is like about midnight by now. I got a taxi to the JFK Hilton. Got there, pulled up. The taxi driver goes, here you are. I said, oh, yeah, thanks. Got out. The torrential rain was being torrential and I had my bags with me, and the taxi goes off, leaves me there. And as I walk up to the front of this hotel, it's not opening. The doors aren't opening. You know, the kind of electronic doors that normally open. And they're not opening. And I was thinking, oh, because it's late, maybe there's just like a special side door where you go. And so it was torrential rain. I was like, I was peering into the front door. And I could see a kind of group of people in there. And I kind of banged on the door a bit. Thought maybe they'll come and get me. But they couldn't hear me. But I could see there was definitely some people in there. So I thought, this is it. So I walked around the side. I was like walking around the side. I cannot emphasize how torrential this rain was. And I was like, I could not see anywhere to go. And then I could see this open door right around the back of the hotel. And I had to clamber over a fence, I'm not kidding you, to get there, clutching my bags in the torrential rain.
It's like Taken 3.
It was, honestly, it was like Taken 3 meets Alan Partridge. And I clambered over this fence, walked through this open door, drenched like a drowned rat. And this guy looks at me, gets up out of this whole group of people who are at the bar, basically, living La Vida Loca, playing music, having a lovely time. This bloke goes to me, who are you? And I went, I was on the passenger on the cancelled Virgin flight. They sent me here and said they blocked books and rooms. He went, not here, no. This hotel's been decommissioned. We're all having our last few nights in the hotel, the staff, and we're just here. There's no members of the public here. I was like, what? I was like, what do you send me here? I said, this is the JFK Hilton, right? And he goes, yeah, but there's another JFK Hilton 10 minutes away, which is called the JFK Hilton Garden Inn. And that's the one they should have sent you to. And I was like, fuck. So I literally sent me to the wrong one, I'm afraid. So I had to get another cab from this place. And I got to the right one, the other JFK Hilton, 10 minutes away. Walked in like a drowned rat. And those doors did open. There were some lovely women behind the front desk who were like...
And they didn't have a suite.
They didn't have a suite.
They did, but it wasn't the one with the gold bidet.
I went, they were like, how are you? And I went, wet, like that. And I said, is Virgin block book rooms in? And they went, yeah, it's fine. I said, oh, good, because I was sent to the wrong JFK Hilton. And they went, oh, yeah, that's been decommissioned. I was like, yeah, I know.
And I didn't know the party that the staff were having there seemed like it might have been a rager. I'd have stayed there.
They were having a whale of a time. So, yeah, I stayed up in this kind of travel tavernish style hotel.
American Partridge, basically.
It was very American Partridge. They were so nice, the staff, though. And there were loads of, like, disgruntled British people, like, just hanging out. But the flight they put me on was literally more than 24 hours after the initial one. So
I had to wait
about, like, 28 hours. I spent the whole day in this travel tavern reading these proofs on my laptop and just basically sitting there watching stuff.
We had a nice chat while you were there, didn't we?
We had a nice chat, yeah. I spoke to Kay, told her. Did I tell you on the phone?
I heard that's the first version I heard. Life and Direct.
Did I tell you? Oh, God, obviously I was completely delirious at this point. And I think, in answer to your question, am I jet lagged? This is the worst jet lag I've ever had. And I think it's because of that day spent just hanging out at this travel tavern in limbo.
That's horrible. But Kay, can you imagine having to spend a day in a 4-star hotel? That would fuck you up, right?
I mean, literally, it was I couldn't not think of anything worse.
I'm not complaining. And anyway, it was not for sale.
And you know,
he's not complaining, James.
Did the room service not come quickly? Like, what were the issues that you had to deal with? Was your pillow quite fluffy? Because that can be really bad.
He was like Princess and the Pea.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like there's no mint. Where's the turndown service? I'm just outraged by this whole situation.
I'm glad you've amused yourself.
No, listen, to be fair to him, and this is the eighth time now of hearing that story, but to be fair to him, the thing I did feel bad about was the thing he was most excited about, other than going to New York and having a living it up for his birthday, was coming back for the Doctor Who screening.
Well,
he missed it.
Let me remind you, not only was I coming back for the Doctor Who screening, I actually changed my flight from my original booking to come back in time for the
that
Doctor
Who. That's dedication.
It was a double whammy. Because I only found out, you know, about 3 weeks ago when the Doctor Who screening actually was taking place. I booked this ticket 6 months ago. It was in a sale. That's why. Another reason why I got, you know, I went business class, because it was in like a proper big sale.
And you paid to move it?
I didn't have to pay that much, thankfully, to move it. But I had paid something to move it, put it that way. And so I was like doubly frustrating. I emailed a lot of these people at the BBC saying, sorry, I can't go there. And I messaged Russell T. Davis on Instagram, and he took the piss back quite brilliantly, I have to say. Like, well, we managed without you, you know, kind of. Somehow we made it through. And I was like, yeah, very funny. But that's my story. And during the 4-hour wait on the tarmac, that bit, I watched a TV series. And in TV series in its entirety, and it's Steven Soderbergh's Full Circle, which is one of many shows that have not reached British TV yet. Mm. There's like a handful. I think it's an HBO Max. HBO Max. There's loads of Max shows because HBO Max.
They're making room for them, apparently. Did you hear that Watchmen got taken off Max?
Yeah.
It's been removed off the service. I don't understand why, but that's mad.
Luckily, I've got Watchmen on Blu-ray. So
yeah, I hope some people have, because it's a
brilliant series.
Bona fide classic.
That's
the
best of the shows that they've taken off, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I watched Full Circle, which is a 6-parter. And I watched, what was funny was I had time to watch the first 4 hours of it. And then we had to disembark, and I literally had to watch the rest of them. I found it on my laptop using.
Well, that's a sign of how good it was.
Anyway, it hasn't come to British TV yet. It's written by Ed Solomon, directed entirely by Steven Soderbergh. It's like a 6-hour Steven Soderbergh film.
Okay,
and it's bloody fucking brilliant. Mm. And if it had been on,
bloody fucking brilliant.
If it had been on British TV, it'd be a contender for my top 20 of the year easily.
Wow.
Because it's really, really good. It's basically, it stars Zazie Beetz as a cop, a New York City cop called Mel Harmony. And she,
great name.
Yeah. She investigates, there's a botched kidnapping whereby this really successful couple played by Claire Danes and Timothy Oliphant, and Claire Danes' dad, played by Dennis Quaid, is like a celebrity chef. He's like Gordon Ramsay figure, kind of very famous celebrity chef. And Claire Danes and Timothy Oliphant's son is kidnapped, but the kidnappers get the wrong boy. It's not his son, they get another boy instead. And it all kind of spins off from there. And there's also a brilliant role, CCH Pounder, who's a British actress.
That's
who's
a fantastic name.
Brilliant name. She's been in loads of stuff, you recognise her. Oh, actually, she's Guyanese-born American actress. Sorry, she's not British at all. I thought she was British. She has this quite kind of weird obsession with a circle, as in the title Full Circle. And something bad happened to her in the past. She basically runs a kind of crime family, pretty much. Mm. And she has this mad superstition about fixing this circle. And she was the one who kind of ordered these people to kidnap this kid. And so the kind of the action bounces between her people, who are like a crime family, the rich, wealthy New Yorkers, the son, the boy that was kidnapped by mistake, the police, and all of these, and others, other characters who are kind of on the edges of this circle. And what's brilliant about the whole thing is it starts out as one thing, like a kidnapping thriller, effectively, and turns into this really weird drama where all these different people are connected somehow without giving anything more away.
I feel like I've heard this before. Was it all... Your Honour? Was there a show called Your Honour?
Yeah.
There's something like that happened.
Brian Cranston show.
There are some similarities to Your Honour. But what I think this is even better, and it's partly because Steven Soderbergh has directed the fuck out of it, basically.
Did he do it on an iPhone?
He did. Right, there are bits of it which are a little bit like they're done on an iPhone, but not. So there are bits of it where he's following characters in almost real time as they're going from one place to another. There's a brilliant scene in which one of the characters' mobile phone runs out of power, and they have to run around New York. It's all set, and the other brilliant thing about watching it for me was it was all set in parts of New York I'd literally walked through during my weekend, my visit.
Is there a bit where they spend 4 hours on the tarmac at JFK?
I mean, there could have been, because it was weird how the extent to which they literally had places like Washington Square. Half of the whole thing is in Washington Square Park, where I'd hung out a little bit with my mate Neil. Anyway, it was
this is Neil Diamond, for those listening.
Steady. He's only luckily friends with Neil Diamond. Legend. Yeah. He directs it just brilliantly, following these people around like with the camera. You can't quite work out how he's done it because, you know, there's loads of one shots, loads of single takes which go on for a long time. But anyway, I just thought it was so brilliantly gripping and compelling. I loved it. So the upside of the whole delayed played experience was getting to watch Full Circle and I don't know when eventually it will get here, but it really should come quite soon because it's excellent.
Yeah, there's a whole lot. Well, we haven't had either of the most recent Walking Dead spin-offs, which I know Kay is very upset about.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a second series of Wolf Like Me. Remember Wolf Like Me?
Yes.
With Josh Gad and Isla Fisher, which was great.
Yeah.
Haven't had that yet either.
Yeah. And there's that other one, which is also on the flight, actually, which I nearly watched, which is another HBO Max show, which I can't remember the name of, but anyway. He says, pointlessly.
Okay, but that's good. I'm going to add that to my list. If we ever get to watch it, that would be lovely. Okay. What have you watched while sitting on a plane or, you know, frankly, in your front room?
I have watched series 2 of Fisk. Now, do you remember me talking about this?
No.
What? James, you must do, because I know you
Fist.
Listen to every...
Fisk.
No, Fisk.
As in Wilson Fisk, the kingpin of crime.
Yes, right.
No. As in Helen Tudor Fisk, the main character in the Australian comedy on Netflix. Now, I talked about it because I watched the first series whenever it was out, and the second just dropped with, I think, little fanfare, because I didn't know it was on, and I just devoured the whole thing. It's about... So it's created by Kitty Flanagan, who plays Helen Tudor Fisk, who is a divorced wife who goes back to her law career at this really sort of like pokey solicitors, I guess, and while she's still living at home. And it's just really funny. It's like, it's one of those comedies where not much happens, but it's all about the characters. And it's great.
Good.
Good.
I'm all about brevity this episode.
Okay.
What
good to know.
On, did you say?
Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah. Fisk. Netflix. Netfisk. Anyway.
Netfisk. So I've watched that. And then other things that you won't be interested in, like I had a preview of the EastEnders Christmas episode, James. I'm going to skip over that. Yes.
More than that, you hosted, Kay, the EastEnders Christmas special Q&A. And then you hosted the Agatha Christie drama. Talk about taking my hard-earned jobs away from me.
He's been very down in the mouth about that. No, he hasn't. He has teased me about it. Murder is Easy is the Agatha Christie one I told you about.
When you had all the talent on stage, did you begin your Q&A by saying, I expect you're all wondering why I've gathered you here this evening?
You should have done.
Did you see my notes?
Next
yes,
time.
I did.
Next
it
time.
Was fantastic introduction.
You know, you did coin a phrase, didn't you, about Christmas and Agatha Christie, Kay? Tell us, tell the listeners.
Agatha Christmas. Was it Agatha Christmas?
Christmas, yeah.
Christmas.
Because I said Christmas isn't Christmas without a classic Agatha Christie whodunit. Yeah. So yeah, and I said the BBC can have that for free. And
apparently actual Agatha Christie's grandson was there.
Great-grandson. Yeah. James Pritchard was there, yeah. And the writer, the director, we had all the cast. I would recommend, if you love Agatha Christie, to watch it. But I've told you this before, it doesn't have Miss Marple or Poirot.
But we should, this is the kind of thing, this is why every year I make this point, I'm going to make it again.
Go on.
We should do another podcast covering stuff between Christmas and New Year. Because some of the best shows of the year. So, for example, The Tourist and Mr. Thingy versus the Post Office
are
on the same time
show.
On New Year's Day. Mm. And we're not covering them because of the stupid, because you're too lazy.
It's because, I'm so bone idle, really, is what it comes down to.
We always say that to you. Pull your bloody finger out.
I am so lazy that for reasons passing understanding, I want to have 1 week off a year. I mean, I know what you're saying. It's extraordinary it and is. Indulgent.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can I say? That's how I roll.
Well, I'm just apologising to the listeners.
Becca, I'm that flagging we won't get, yeah. So I'm flagging it. Murder is Easy, 27th and 28th of December, BBC One.
Yeah.
It's great.
So if you're wondering what Hay was doing, it was Agatha all along.
Very good.
Yeah. Flash forward to the
news
section.
That's a Marvel nerdy reference. Kind
of. Also, the name of the upcoming Agatha Coven of Chaos, which is now called Agatha All Along.
Well,
unless, of course, it was Agatha All Along, but that's unclear.
How have you managed to ruin this for me?
Never underestimate me. Good. Okay, that was fun. So I don't have much to share because it occurred to me this week that I had mainly watched two shows, and those were, unfortunately, Friends and The West Wing. Because it's that time of year. I'm not going to talk about it.
No. It's fine, but I do think at some point, maybe now, maybe next episode.
What,
we have to an intervention, yeah. Because this is like
but it's that time
insane.
Of year, isn't it? You want comfort, you want familiarity.
James, 4 months ago you were talking about this.
Yeah,
still.
Okay, that's true. Mm. I mean, it's never going to stop because The West Wing's always on repeat. But my friend's rewatch is ongoing.
But Friends isn't.
But there was a bit. So I was
this
on the train last night, like going home, and I was like, oh my God, I've only watched The West Wing and Friends. What am I going to talk about on the podcast when we record it tomorrow? I was like, I've got to watch something now. So I fired up my iPad. I was like, right. I've got a big old watch list here. What can I watch that I can then talk about? Actually, could it be For All Mankind? Should I press on with Fall of the House of Usher? You know, I've still got to get through Bodies. You know, what should I press on with? So I watched another episode of Banshee and...
self-parody.
Really enjoyed it. It was great. There was a rave. People got punched. It was extraordinary. There were boobs, obviously, which was great to watch on the train, so that was slightly awkward. I did, again, have to angle the iPad away from the woman next
worse.
To me.
Yeah. Because then you look like just a dirty perv who's trying
I was trying to obscure the screen because, you know, it is a bit
she
nudie.
Knows you're looking at boobs. She knows you're that guy.
That's
so
what
just
was happening.
Own it.
Yeah, I should have done, but I didn't. So a bit Banshee. The only other thing I have watched is I have watched One Day.
Have you?
How?
Is it on the thing?
What?
It's on my thing.
Did you request it specially?
I couldn't possibly say.
Yes, you did, you little shit.
Wait, this is Netflix, right?
This is Netflix.
Oh, I really
this
want to see
Netflix.
One Day.
Yes, which is an adaptation of the insert name of person who wrote the book.
David Nichols,
that's it.
You don't deserve to watch it because you don't even know
no, exactly.
Fucking
I'm like friendly with David Nichols
are you?
As well, yeah.
Oh, clearly likes me more because he gave me a show.
Fucking hell, right? Here we go. I'm just firing off an email as we speak.
Can you ask for me as well, please?
And have you guys seen the film?
It was disappointing.
No.
It was very disappointing. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was just, it was partly Anne Hathaway doing a British accent, wasn't it? It was an issue. I seem to remember. I mean, I haven't watched it since the day it came out, but it wasn't great. And it does, I think it's good that this is like a 14 part, is that right?
I can't remember exactly how many episodes, but yes, it is half hour chunks.
Yeah, which makes more sense because obviously it's all about catching up with the same duo.
So you get your half hour per day, essentially.
There. So this sounds like a much more sensible way of doing it than trying to turn it into a 2 hour rom-com.
Yeah, it lends itself to this format 100%, right. But I obviously cannot tell you anything about the quality of it, for it is embargoed.
It's Leo Woodall, who was the scene stealer from White Lotus Season 2. He was the guy who was having sex with his uncle in Greece.
Ah, yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And fully naked throughout that series. And
spoiler, he is not fully nude during the opening scene of this first episode.
In the opening scene, but you know.
I'm saying nothing about the subsequent scenes.
Oh, okay. And who was absolutely genius in This Is Going to Hurt, yeah. So that's, you know, they're two brilliant actors. I'm very excited to see it, yeah. But you've already seen it, so.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. See, I know you can't tell because this is my default position, but this is my smug face that I have on at the moment.
I'm just trying to read
looks
it.
A lot like my regular smug face, but this is a special smug face.
This is good news though because it means that you know I can get a hold of them and give myself a treat the weekend.
But can you, Boyd? That's the question. You know, you don't give these things out to anyone.
Oh, James,
you
know, do not.
You've got to be very special.
Try your hardest not to be a dick.
Those of us who got slow horses literally months before it aired.
Those of us who desperately try and get these things first and actually request them blatantly. Whereas I just sit back and let them come to me as and when they will.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing. Okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay. Anyway, that is what we've been watching. Shall we have some form of listener question?
God, yes.
Oh, Kay's got the look of panic. The look of panic that I did not share anything with you.
Oh, good.
Ahead of time.
I thought I'd missed it.
No, you have not failed to prepare for something because I've given you nothing to prepare for. I haven't even looked, so I'm just going to randomly pull the things out of the great big post bag.
Scroll. I'll say stop.
Okay, go on. Tell
Stop.
Me when. Okay, this is a tweet. It's a tweet thread. And this comes from Constantine, 1987. And Constantine says, I introduced Star Trek to my girlfriend by showing
this
her...
This is a fix. Look, this is a bloody fix. Look at him. You're such a dick.
Hey, no, you might like this one. You guys, I introduced Star Trek to my girlfriend by showing her Deep Space Nine, Series 5, Episode 3, which, of course, you know well, Kay, looking for Parmach in all the wrong places... And she loved it. So how you know this? So this is the Cyrano de Bergerac episode where Worf really fancies this Klingon woman called like Griska or something like that. But he can't court her because he's been discommendated by the Klingon council, therefore is dishonored. So what he does is he helps Quark win her love by Cyrano de Bergeracing him, by feeding him lines. And then when Quark has to do ritual Klingon combat... Worf uses some like a body control thing so he can essentially take over Quark's body and fight with his Bat'leth in the arena.
You which didn't is... pick this out randomly.
Boydo, tell us a bit more about that hotel story.
Anyway, it works out well at the end because Worf gets to shag Jadzia Dax and, you know, everyone wanted to do that. So that was good. But anyway, and let's go on. Constantine continues. He goes on saying, I chose this episode as the first to show her because it's so much fun and great character work. Also, I wanted to give an example using Star Trek that because I am on the autism spectrum, I don't always get social cues or pick up on what is right in front of me, just like Worf. He is clueless to the advances of Dax until she has to be very blunt in her communication with him. And then he understands her. I once saw a post that said Worf has the Klingon equivalent to being on the autism spectrum, and that changed how I viewed him as a character and made me relate to his character on a much deeper level than before. For me, it's a three-way tie between Worf, Data, and Spock from Strange New Worlds. And yes, Boyd Hilton, I am sure that I would appreciate Spock from the original series,
yes.
But it's so hard for me to get into something so glacially based. I thought this was a really fascinating sort of like thing about Worf, because I totally get that depiction of Worf, because his whole dynamic is that fish out of water thing. He is a Klingon in a non-Klingon society, and he's slightly out of sync with everyone around him. He's not quite on everyone's wavelength, so he does constantly feel like he's...
Who does that sound like?
No. Are you seriously telling us you picked this out randomly?
No. Yes. And listen, 2024 is the year that I take over the post bag.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The year of Kay's triage system. Do you know what? I would happily give up the triage
that's a
to you.
Big commitment, Kay. Are you sure?
It's a lot of work. Do you know what? From now on, okay, this is good.
Well,
from next year, Kay is in charge of all communications. Yeah. I'm 100% willing to give that to you.
All right, I'll consider it over the holidays.
Hang on, we've gone from you're taking it off me to you will not take it from me.
All right, I'm going to give it a trial. For January, I'll do it and see how
I
get on.
All right, yeah, we can see what happens. Excellent. okay. Are you going to do another? Are we going to do another roulette?
Go on.
Okay, hang on.
Scroll.
Let me bring up the post-baggy thing.
As if you're doing it, you're just choosing these, aren't you?
No. I'm
hold your phone up to Boyd and I so we can see scrolling.
Well, we have to avoid the ones at the top because all these are review of the year
fine.
Ones.
Okay, fine. Go on.
So,
stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Star
This
Trek.
One comes from Captain... Sorry. Commander Benjamin Sisko of Deep Space Nine. And he says... No.
What?
This one comes from...
Wow.
This one comes from John. And John says, hello, love the podcast. Although I'm not 100% sure how it would fit, I wanted to recommend trying a show that has something for all three of you.
Ooh.
There is a series on Prime called Undone. Without wanting to spoil anything, there is a touch of parallel universiness to it, but that's left open to interpretation, as well as strong family dynamics and relationships for those less enamored by the weirdness. It's all rotoscoped, and I promise even Boyd won't have seen its like. As I said, something for everyone, and I'd love it if you gave it a shot. Bracket. Also, Bob Odenkirk is in it, so that's not nothing either.
We either reviewed the first series.
I don't think we did.
I certainly watched it. I might have reviewed it. In my mind, I definitely watched it. And I think I reviewed it for what was then the Pilot TV magazine, the supplement.
That was a long time ago.
It was, yeah, which came out. So I think this does go back quite a long way. I think it was probably one of the later issues of that supplement. But that's what started the whole Pilot TV brand, of course. But I've definitely seen it, and it was really good. It was excellent and beautifully, beautifully done.
So this is Undone, not to be confused with Something Undone that we reviewed the other week, Coming Undone, which is Terry's series, which is yet to come out.
Excited about that.
Yeah, this is Undone. Yeah, no, it is very good. No, I heartily agree. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's definitely worth giving it a go.
Do you feel there's something for Kay in there?
Yeah, I think so, because it's got a pretty compelling, it's got a really good opening scene that kind of draws you in. And because it is rotoscoped animation, which is it's more like human humans kind of...
Thank you for explaining that to me, because when he said it, I was like, what?
Yeah. It's basically that kind of... This is a really simplistic way of looking at it. It's like they trace over live-action people, actually actors, to create this kind of beautiful effect, which Thingy uses, the director of... You know,
Richard Linklater.
Boy, Richard Linklater.
Yes,
thank you.
I know what you're thinking.
Yes, he uses it a lot in his animated films.
Yeah. I've got a question for you.
Mm.
It's prompted by the fact that Max have, for reasons passing understanding, essentially deleted Watchmen from existence. Mm. And as obviously some of us watched the two-star film that was Leave the World Behind, you will know that...
Shut the fuck up.
You will know that, you know, the importance of physical media cannot be overstated, because streaming is ephemeral and the internet can go down. So I would put it to each of you. Think of a scenario.
We can't think of a scenario because we're not in America.
Think of a scenario. In this scenario, you are okay. Right, you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Virgin have called. Your flight's been moved up without warning. Yeah. The opposite of what happened to Boyd.
Right,
you've got to get to the airport, and the country's on fire, and you can only save a few items from your house. And what you have chosen to save, for reasons that don't really matter, maybe because Boyd was in the kitchen and that's where he keeps his DVDs, you have chosen to save 3 box sets.
Mm.
Only 3.
Okay.
That you can take with you for your new life, wherever you're going to end up. And in the Hilton, whatever it is, JFK.
Yeah.
So
Garden Inn.
Exactly, the Garden Inn. You can live there forever.
Yeah.
So what 3 box sets... would you save?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I haven't got a lot box set, so...
All right, okay, imagine for Kay's benefit...
Towels. I'm taking 40
Kay gets to go to HMV first and buy some box sets.
You literally have to be ones you've actually got, but what, yeah.
Well, he said we're at home,
no,
so
I mean,
I'm being literal.
I'm giving Kay a brief window where she can get stuff off Amazon. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, you know the HMV store on Oxford Street?
It's back. Yeah.
Which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, except HMV now isn't really what HMV was.
Oh,
HMV now is a bit of a cave full of manga stuff. It's not really the bastion to...
You say they don't have DVDs and Blu-rays?
Oh, I think they do. They do, but it just feels like whenever I go into HMVs now, I always feel they feel like slightly sinister. Like they're really dingy and they're full of like little plastic toys and stuff. And they're not like, I always remembered them as these sort of like cathedrals of film and music. And I loved them. I spent so much time in them.
Oh, gotcha.
And now I find them a bit sad.
Oh, okay. But it's good news that it's back generally. Anyway, Kate.
Anyway, you've been to the
weird cave.
Right, okay, first thing, I'm going to get Veep.
Yeah.
Right. So you want Veep. That's because bear in mind, these are going to be the only box sets you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
So you've got to think
Veep
about A, shows you're going to want to keep, but also shows that you think are at risk. You know, like they may disappear. Like, will you always be able? So Fawlty Towers, I feel like you'll always be able to get because it'll be on the BBC. iPlayer will be here long after all of us are dead. So, you know, I feel like BBC stuff is safe.
Yeah, no, this scenario is mad.
No? You added a whole
I'm
level
adding
of madness.
A, I'm adding, I'm going
to
complicate
it. Supposed to guess which ones might disappear? I mean, that is bonkers.
All right, fine. Okay,
carry on. Yeah, just pick the ones you'd miss.
Yeah.
I'm no longer invested in this game.
Well, Veep is HBO, and as we have learned to our peril, like it's not safe
right,
on there.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm going to take Veep. I'm going to take...
I'll help you.
No, I want...
Crossroads.
No.
Poirot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Would you,
Which
though?
I bought
it's not
you,
really peak
I?
TV, is
I've
it?
I've got it. Yeah, of course. I've got...
Yeah, yeah. I bought Kay a present of Poirot boxes.
Very good of you.
And also, you also got me Girls on Top.
Yeah, I mean...
Because I was obsessed
that's
with that.
That's old school.
Yes. Yeah. As a kid, I used to watch that all the time and can still quote bits.
I'm reasonably certain that you shouldn't have been watching that at whatever age you were watching it.
I mean, it all went over my head. Like, the songs I was singing now,
I bet
like,
they were.
And Boyd got so... bored of me singing it, and then on my birthday opened it up and he bought it for me. What's the one with Lisa Kudrow that got cancelled that I'm obsessed with?
The Comeback.
With? Right, I'd take The Comeback.
That's a left field choice.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
It's great.
It's great, yeah.
And I haven't watched it to death, and it's like, and it's, it deserves more airtime, so. There are 2, and then what would be the 3rd one? I might take some, I want to take a British comedy. Maybe I take The Office or something like that.
You think?
Hmm.
Okay, good.
Mine's really obvious.
Okay, it's Frasier, it's Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it's Seinfeld.
Yes. I mean, it's literally those 3. Because they're my comfort, you know, I just watch them all the time.
What if you want something that isn't a comedy?
No, the drama isn't as, doesn't bear, repeat viewing for drama is a very rare thing for me.
Yeah, me too.
I know
me too.
This is absolutely where I live.
I mean, in a way, The West Wing is comedy, you see, so I kind of understand,
is
I get that. Well, there's loads of jokes.
It is funny.
It's
drama,
it's funny all the way through. It's funny all the way through. very strong vein of humour.
It's witty and smug, my favourite things.
Yeah, but for a drama to be that comedic is quite rare, and what, one of the genius things about it, actually. But so I can see why it would be a contender. I absolutely love it, and it does bear rewashing, as you've proved, because you rewatch every fucking minute. But for me, it's much easier to rewatch comedy, so it's just like absolute joy. Whereas to find a drama, even like the giants of TV drama, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, all those, 6 Feet Under, all the ones that people trot out constantly, quite rightly, even Succession it was a contender because that's funny all the way through.
But then it's kind of like you're almost asking, like, what is a show that you almost couldn't survive not being able to watch again?
Yeah, well, that is the question. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. That's kind of what we're saying. Yeah.
For me, Friends would 100% be on there.
Yeah.
Because I'd have to be able to rewatch that.
Yeah, well, Frasier is my Friends. I prefer Frasier and Friends, always have done, from when
they
first went out.
Ridiculous, but sure.
It's just better.
The West Wing would not be on my list.
Oh.
Do you know why? There is never a point where I'd be separated from it long enough that I would need to go and get the box set. Like, it's clearly already with me. That's absolutely fine. That's in the bag. Literally. So
wait, what do you mean? What this? Right, this question. Sorry, I might be being really thick.
It is weird.
He said to us, "You're in your house.
Yeah.
There's a fire.
Yeah.
You have to take 3 boxes.
Yeah.
Right? Then it turned out, okay, you can go to HMV.
Yeah. We have to guess which ones might be.
Yeah.
Dropped.
Guess which ones might be dropped off the streamers.
And now,
and now
apparently you walk around with a box set of it.
Yeah. It's like a Swiss Army knife. It's always in my pocket.
All right. Show us your West Wing then. Come on. That's not
steady. That's thoroughly inappropriate in a workplace environment.
Get your West Wing out.
Never show someone your West Wing on a first date.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
James, come on, what's going on? Have you had too much caffeine?
It's possible. We did have our Christmas lunch today, so I am kind of full of carbs.
Too much.
Okay, yeah, so obviously
banana.
I would have the West Wing. I'm trying not to go full board and be like, it'd be the West Wing, it'd be balanced.
You're both predictable. It's fine.
Yeah. Just answer the effing question.
Let's be done with this.
All right, fine. Yes, it would in fact be the West Wing about Saga Lanska and Friends. Yes. Well, fine.
Do you know what this is? This is your airport story.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is. And also what's funny is I can't wait for the reader's response, which is going to be, you know, one of the rare times we get listener interactions where we read out their questions. And instead, James has taken over the listener question, turned into his own listener question to James explain to us why the West Wing is always at his disposal.
And it's a really shit question.
I needed a way to be able to squeeze Game of Thrones into the list, you know? That's the reason why. So I wanted to have the West Wing like reserved as an always there so that I could then get Game of Thrones in there.
Genuinely hilarious.
I'm lost for words.
Okay, good.
It's brilliant.
I think we've answered that question. If you, like me, would like to submit a question to the Pilot TV podcast, feel free.
Just so you know, in January when I'm handling the triage system, that would not get through the bullshit filter.
Okay? Thinking about it now, I think it's a good thing.
We're replacing the triage system with the bullshit filter. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yes. None of James's questions are getting through. Anything that's like vaguely like... something
you're
like
that
a lunatic would make.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like the Lisa of the Wolf and Owl podcast, aren't you?
Yes,
Ramesh Ranganathan's wife, Lisa, trawls through she de-triages there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she does a very good job. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. So if you have a question for the Pilot TV podcast, do send it to Kay Ribeiro on Instagram. Although, you have your Instagram or has it still been hacked?
Mine's been hacked. I'm no longer on Instagram. So I just have to have access to the Pilot one. Which I know James won't.
Oh, no, I'm 100% happy to give you access to it. Yeah.
Listen,
okay, fine. Then by all means, try and send them to @PilotTVPod.
Mm-hmm.
And Kay.
I'm excited about
it. We'll receive them there.
We're going to have a new structure. And I'm going to make this a franchise, a Special K franchise.
Special K, yes, very good. Okay.
I think of that, yeah.
Let's see how that goes. Okay, good. That's one less thing for me to do. Brilliant. That was the listener question. Shall we have some news?
Yes.
Let's get into some news. Now, were I being particularly nasty, I would take that look of panic on Kay's face and say, Kay, tell us what news you have brought with you to the podcast, but I won't do that. Instead, I will say, Boydie.
Well, there was some news just today, actually. We were recording on Thursday the 14th, and I was surprised, I have to say, when it comes to announcements of recommissioned new series. Do you know what I'm going to say, James? I know you've been looking
at your emails. No, I'm looking at the news, actually.
This news arrived today at 14:07.
Oh, then was it Good Omens is coming back for a third and good final season?
Who knew?
Yeah,
Good who I knew? Mean, I quite like Good Omens. I much preferred...
It was fine.
Yeah, season two to season one.
I did not.
No, I know. But I liked it. I still think it's surprising it's coming back for a third series because it can't be cheap. It's quite expensive to me.
It yeah, it doesn't look cheap.
So that's it must do really well, presumably, on the Prime Video. So yeah, it's coming back for an ineffable third and final season, it says in the press release. And yeah, there you go. As I say, I'm surprised. Colour me surprised. That's the first bit of news, Kay.
I've got a bit of news. So they have shared some first look pictures of Glenn Close in upcoming drama, The New Look. Did anyone get that email?
Yes.
So basically, she will be playing Carmel Snow, the legendary editor-in-chief of the iconic fashion magazine Harper's Bazaar. It's a historical drama series, and it's from Todd A. Kessler, and I'm excited about it. And it's, sorry, crucially, I haven't even told you the bloody channel, Apple TV Plus.
Tell us the channel. Mm-hmm. Apple TV Plus. Also, they put out first look of the show Ripley, which is the...
Believe it or not.
Exactly. No, it is the Stephen's Alien, who is the...
Stephen's Alien? Yeah. Ripley. Stephen's Alien.
Stephen.
This is extraordinary.
Stephen. Steve Zalian, who created, among other things, The Night Of. Remember how brilliant that was? One of the best limited series ever. And this is his version of The Talented Mr. Ripley, that character of Tom Ripley from The Talented Mr. Ripley, from the Patricia Highsmith books, with Andrew Scott playing that character.
Oh,
that's
Scott.
Good
I'm
casting.
Really excited about this. It's got Johnny Flynn's in it from The Lovers.
Oh,
your favourite.
Yes, yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's the guy, so he's the Greenleaf character. In the film, it was Jude Law and
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. So here it's those two instead. And Dakota Fanning's in it as well. And this is my name drop story for the week. I think 3 years ago, maybe even longer, I gave a Heat Award to Andrew Scott.
Yes.
Unmissable Awards for his performance that year and whatever. I think it was in Sexy Priest Days for Fleabag. And he was lovely and we gave it to him in person and I chatted to him, interviewed him for about, you know, for a bit. And I was like, what are you doing next? And he said, well, I'm doing this thing, Ripley. I'm, you know, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'm going to play Ripley. Honestly, 3 years ago.
Wow.
And then, and I saw him recently at a screening of his brilliant new film. And I was like, is Ripley, what's happening with Ripley? He said, well, obviously it was like COVID and the whole shoot was cancelled. And it was like, it's being filmed all around the world in lavish locations. And I think he said it was twice the filming was delayed or cancelled. And so finally, 3 years later, and originally it was going to be, I think, for Showtime, and then Netflix had picked it up instead. So it's going to finally arrive fairly early on, I think, next year.
You had the exclusive 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. At least 3 years ago. Mm. And they've issued these kind of moody black and white shots of him in it, which is interesting. But that's one of the most exciting projects of next year, I think.
Well, I mean, the big news. The big news, Kay.
Tell me.
Deep Space Nine's Alexander Siddig has been cast as a regular in Foundation Series 3, and this may be the most me news ever.
Oh.
I am fucking cock-a-hoop. Dr. Bashir is going to be in Foundation.
Good one.
Sorry.
That's one of the Klingons, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I threw my head back in despair. So dramatically
your headphones
my head
fell off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all did.
Go on then, James.
I'm pretty excited about this. I don't know who's playing, but he's going to be in Foundation Season 3, the most exciting show that's currently in development. That's good. Have either of you read, Kay, I'm thinking of you, Tad Williams' Otherland novels? Because
he's in a role today.
If you have, you'd be excited to hear that a TV adaptation is in the work from the producers behind Wheel of Time and The Witcher. Otherland is a series of novels which kind of, weirdly, has a lot in common with, I guess, the likes of Ready Player One, and it's about a kind of a cyberspace. It's about playing like virtual characters in a video game, so much so that you essentially inhabit the world that they're in. So it's that kind of cyberspace type metaverse thing. Mm-hmm. You can bet Mark Zuckerberg fucking loves them. But they're incredibly thick, dense books. I read them many, many years ago. But yeah, I'm pretty pleased about that. Psyched.
As you should be.
As I should be.
Yeah.
Blue Eyes Samurai has been renewed for a second season.
Oh, a lot of people will be happy with that.
They will be very, very pleased about that because that's one of the best shows of the year. It's very, very good. And Boydie, it turns out Baby Yoda is in the Doctor Who Christmas special.
What?
Because I saw a picture, but apparently in here he's called the Goblin King. And he has you know, sharper teeth.
He looks
teeth.
A bit like Yoda.
Yeah, yeah, looks like he looks a bit like Yoda. Baby Yoda. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I missed the bloody Christmas special.
Is it too soon, Boydie? Should I not have brought it up?
It is too soon.
It's a bit sensitive. It's a bit
soon. Why would you do that?
Well, what we should say is Davina McCall is in it, playing herself. Do you know that?
I did.
We cover that, yeah. And
we got that exclusively.
Yeah, we got that exclusive. I knew that.
3 years ago or?
Not nearly. 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Or like. Playing herself, such interesting. And the... From what people, the feedback I heard from people who did get to see the Christmas special was that it was excellent, and that's no great surprise, obviously. But yeah, it's exciting.
Are you going to get to see it, Boydie?
I bloody hope so. God, yeah.
Yes, he will on Christmas.
On Christmas Day, like everyone
else.
5:55
p.m.
I think this is good for you every now and again to experience life as a normal.
Mm.
You know,
except RTD is clearly going to call Boydie up and invite him over to watch it at his house at some point.
I mean, that would be cool. I mean,
yeah,
that would be good. that's what happened with the Office Christmas special. Do you remember that?
Really?
Ricky Gervais. I watched it at Ricky Gervais.
You watched it at Ricky's house?
Yeah, did I ever tell you that story?
No, I haven't heard that story.
You're a monster.
I've heard all the stories.
I am a monster, yeah. What happened was, it was that, first of all, remember he took part in that celebrity wrestling match?
Yes.
With Grant Bovey.
No, he's boxing.
One of the wildest things. Sorry, boxing. What did I say? Wrestling.
I was like, I don't know. I mean, didn't do that.
The boxing was mad enough, but wrestling would have been truly extraordinary. But it's one of the maddest things he's ever done. Yeah, he did this this event, which I went to, and it was like in the beginning of December. And also his partner, Jane, it was her birthday, and it was right near my birthday.
Jane Fallon, the author.
Our birthdays were on the same day. So it was like a mixture of things whereby we were both at the BBC. I think we were on Liquid News together. There was a whole thing. All these things happened. And
the planets aligned.
And he was like, I've got the tape of our Christmas specials. Do you want to come and see them? I was like, do I want to come and see them? So I went to, then he used to live above Russell Square in this like...
Russell Square, of course, named after Russell Tovey.
Yeah, Russell Square and Russell T. Davis, both. And so, yeah, and I watched The Office, the last two episodes ever of The Office with him and Jane there, sitting there watching it. And yeah, I mean, imagine the pressure on me.
Cool.
The pressure to laugh along. But of course, it wasn't pressure because it's literally two of the greatest hours of television or 45 minutes, however long they are in history. But yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, that was one of my most incredible experiences ever in my job.
Do you know what? I am loving story time with Boydo because you're pulling out some gems. I mean, this one, not the first one, but can you each pod, can you just tell us another kind of...
Well, I'm not sure if the listeners need that, but that just, yeah. How did I get onto that, by the way? What's the...
Because Russell T. Davis has invited you over to his house to watch Doctor Who.
Yes. I have been invited over once by a TV living legend, in this case, Ricky Gervais. Russell T. Davis has not yet invited me along.
Empire's Nick Dasamlian had to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sitting in the row in front of Quentin Tarantino.
I've heard that story,
I watched Black Hawk Down sitting in the seat in front of Ridley Scott.
Wow.
And my phone went off the film. And I have never in my life wanted the bowels of hell to open up and swallow me as that moment.
Was it just you and him?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It was actually a proper big screening. I was the seat in front of Ridders and my phone. And worst thing is, my phone has only ever gone off in a film twice in my entire life. The first time, and I remember both of them because I was mortified. The first time was when I watched Iron Man, the original Iron Man. At least I think that was the first time. Whichever one came first. What year was Black Hawk Down? Anyway, it doesn't matter. One of the times was Iron Man, but it's a relatively small screening. And also, I had a new phone with a new ringtone, so it rang for ages and ages. And I did that thing where I was tutting and looking around.
And then belatedly
was like, oh, shit, it's fine.
You were like a meerkat in your seat, looking superior, around tussling.
James refusing to accept the fact that it could have been him. Still to this
day.
That's
a lot.
Yeah,
so that is true. That is what happened.
Did Ridley Scott give you the stink eye?
I didn't look. The thing is, I did that thing where I found it, I fumbled in my bag, got it, turned it off, and then I sunk down in my seat and just felt the kind of beads of sweat prickling on my head and just didn't dare look round.
Someone's phone went off last night at the screening I went to in the Q&A afterwards, a BAFTA Q&A for this film American
Fiction.
Was it
James?
It wasn't James. And it was at a terrible moment. And someone had asked a really big, important thematic question about this film to the people on the panel. And literally a really loud phone went off. And the woman behind me went, oh dear. And I thought, you're right.
Yeah. Oh dear indeed.
Oh dear indeed.
That helps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Have we finished news?
No, well, we should say that Andre Brower passed away at the age of 61. Andre Brower, of course, legend. Famous for a great many things, including Homicide, Life on the Streets, and of course, Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well. And he was a bit of a legend.
absolutely the best thing about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a funny show. It's a really fun, but he was fantastic in it. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And he was in loads of good things. Always, always fantastic.
Only 61 years old, died after a short illness.
Terrible.
Which was very sad. Mm. Very sad. And we talked about this at some length on the Empire podcast last week. Right. Shall we move on to this week's reviews?
Yes.
First up this week, we have a ghost story for Christmas, specifically Lot 249, which is the latest in Mark Gatiss' series of spooky seasonal treats. This one stars Kit Harington and involves a mummy. So, Boydie,
yes.
Did this one deck the halls or did they let it Jon Snow?
Oh,
I don't know.
No, I would have said deck the halls, or is it a load of balls?
Nice try. This is. I'm a huge fan of Mark Gatiss's work generally. Sherlock, he wrote the brilliant Adventure in Time and Space, or Space and Time. I always get the throw away around the drama about Doctor Who, about the first Doctor, William Hartnell, which was repeated very recently on BBC Four, and they inserted specially a shooty Gatwa moment at the end, which was brilliant. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. One of the most amazing moments of the year. It's on my list for amazing moments of the year. And he has been doing, as it's the last few years, because he's a huge fan of ghost stories and horror, etc. He's been adapting classic short stories, ghost-themed short stories, into half-hour one-offs, if you like. Mm.
And this is Arthur Conan Doyle, isn't it?
This is Arthur Conan Doyle. Yeah, this is the first one by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
And it stars Kit Harington and Freddie Fox, and it's set in 1881. In Oxford University, and it's about these kind of academics who kind of dislike each other. Abercrombie, played by Kit Harington, and Bellingham, played by Freddie Fox, who's really kind of, they're all posh young guys.
Yes.
And the third one, Colin Ryan, who plays Monkhouse Lee, who's like a kind of, he's like a kind of quite fey sort, kind of weakling.
A bit odd as well.
Yeah. Kind of, he has a religious thing going on. Kit Harington's the kind of like, in quotes, in heavy quotes, kind of like the normally one,
yeah.
You know, considering he is a, you know,
he's the leader of the pack.
Yeah, yeah, mildly objectionable posh, as opposed to everyone else who's insufferable.
Exactly.
Posh.
Yeah. Freddie Fox is the insufferable one.
Freddie Fox, who is amazing in Slow Horses, we should say.
He's amazing in this as well, I think. Yeah. I love it. He's fantastic. And basically, Freddie Fox's character is conducting weird experiments with ancient Egyptian artifacts.
Terrible experiments,
which he's somehow got hold of. And the Monkhouse character, the Colin Ryan's character, has come under his spell as well. And Kit Harington's character is trying to kind of, you know, monitor what's going on between these two. And basically, there's some kind of like mummy-esque creature that is kind of summoned to life by whatever the fuck Freddie Fox's character is doing. It's, I thought, you know, these things are always like creepy rather than terrifying or scary.
I wasn't scared.
But it is creepy, creepily effective. And Mark Gatiss is brilliant at establishing that tone of creepiness where you're like, and it's just kind of camp enough. There's definitely a massive homoerotic subtext, this whole thing, because these are three handsome young men who are constantly talking about each other and whether they're suitable.
It's almost not even subtext, right? There's a conversation where it's fairly overt.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like Colin Ryan's character, who talks about, I've come under his spell, this, that, and the other. But the best, and I really enjoyed it, the best thing about it is that it is an adaptation of an Arthur Conan Doyle short story, and I won't spoil it, but there's a thing that happens halfway through, a scene where Kit Harington's character goes and visits a friend. And who that friend turns out to be is rather lovely.
Oh, that's all.
I'll say. I mean, I'm leaving it fairly obvious. It's not that big a spoiler. Because I've seen reviews.
You know, who could it be that Arthur Conan Doyle may be responsible
for? Exactly. It's a shrouded in mystery. You'd have to be Sherlock Holmes to work it out. That's all I'm saying.
Very good spoiler.
I know that's a spoiler, but listen, if James thinks we have to cut it out, fine. But it's the best. It's a lovely, lovely scene.
It's a nice touch, isn't
it? It's a great touch. And I've seen all the previews, which I checked before I came on this show, thinking, are they all giving it away? They've all mentioned it. They've all mentioned, basically, that Sherlock Holmes pops up. And they do it in such a way, they don't call name him. They just do it, make it quite clear, because he's going to move to Baker Street and he needs someone to move with him. But the detail of that conversation is lovely. And it's classic Gatiss, because he loves weaving in, you know, references and Easter eggs and all of that. And I think in the end, one of the main reasons he must have done this story is so that he could have this brilliant scene, in which we meet someone who may or may not be an Arthur Conan Doyle character.
You've said it, now it's there.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. It's great.
I too enjoyed it. And I, you know, it's not scary. for anyone who, like me, gets a bit scared about that kind of stuff, no, it's just spooky. It's a bit odd, weird in places. It's homoerotic. It's got, you know, it ticks all those boxes. And I liked it. I think Freddie Fox is perfectly cast as Bellingham because he's just so sort of like creepy, weird. Yeah. I liked it.
James has got a weird expression on his face, like he's about to let rip.
But also, let's hope not in this hermetically sealed studio.
Yeah. Those fried bananas, man. Anyway, you didn't like it?
I didn't like it. No.
Why not?
It's not scary, as Kay said, and I didn't find it particularly compelling from a mystery point of view because there isn't really much of a mystery to it. It's fairly self-evident what it's about. From the get-go. They don't really make... So I was just like, I'm not quite sure what the hook is here because it's not frightening. There's no mystery. There's not a particularly complex story. It's quite straightforward. It's just a bunch of posh people being posh at each other, which obviously I have a certain amount of time for. I watched every episode of Downton Abbey. Thank you, Boydie. Do you know what? That's fine. But it's just like, I don't know. It felt like walking into the common room at Eton.
But it's inoffensive.
That is what we look for in the era of big TV. It was inoffensive.
No, but as in I'm saying it like...
Yeah, it was inoffensive.
Defending it because I just think...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was inoffensive, but ultimately, I'm sure I could have spent that 45 minutes better elsewhere.
Only half an hour.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Well, look, I've just got 10 minutes back. This is amazing. Yes. Maybe I'm just, I have a heart of stone, but I just,
well, I mean, that's a given.
Fair.
I mean,
yeah. But no, I was gently bored.
Oh my God, sorry.
Sorry. It just, you know, it didn't do it for me. Gently bored.
I should remember that for the next time we do The Expanse or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I thought there'd be more to it. I thought it was going to be, you know, a lot for 249 and it wasn't.
I sort of understand what you mean, but I thought it was enjoyable and entertaining.
Yeah. Arthur Conan Doyle, of course, known for his slightly more sort of wibbly wobbly windy stories. There was no wind.
Wibbly wobbly
windy, as you know, famously. Anyway, a ghost story for Christmas, Lot 249 airs
Christmas Eve.
On Christmas
BBC Eve. BBC 2, 10 o'clock. Yeah.
You know what I should have said? Is this one Ebenezer Good?
Oh, yeah. Could have said that.
Yeah.
Too late now.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Next up, we have Percy Jackson and the Olympians, based on the Rick Riordan kids' books, which is about a young boy who finds out he's half God. Who better to talk about that than our very own demigod? It's Kay Ribeiro.
I like that intro. So this, as you say, is based on the book.
Yes.
And so when we begin, it's a 12-year-old Percy who... sees monsters everywhere. He
sees monsters walking around like, I don't know, I'm trying to make a Sixth Sense reference. It's not really working. Carry on.
And his teachers think he's got an overactive imagination. His best friend, Grover, tries to protect him.
Not from Sesame Street.
No, absolutely not. Tries to protect them from the bullies, including a girl called Nancy, but it's no good. Like, Percy stands out and he feels marginalised because, as we know, he has superpowers. In this first episode, it's basically a lot of scene setting and you know, they've built this sort of world of demigods, winged creatures. There's all, you know...
all the stuff you love.
But you know what? Wait, let me just finish this. But in this first episode, we basically learn from his mother that he is this, in fact, half-blood. His father was a god and half-bloods aren't safe in the world and are in danger until they can fight back, i.e. come of age. So this is the first episode. So... I know what you're thinking, right, that I would absolutely hate this. I didn't. I thought, I don't know what it is about this that I didn't hate. As
I'm shocked. I thought you were going to Poseidon my chips.
Oh, God.
Sorry, carry on.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to watch any more of it.
I mean, you loved it.
Were you gently bored?
I was gently, I think it's well done. I think it's really well done. And I think it's, you know, I think people are going to really like it. It's just...
You're not one of those people.
The world of the gods, and you know what I mean, like Greek mythology and all the rest of it. I mean, I think Grover was good because he brought some much needed humour for me. But as I said, it's well made. It creates this magical world that many will want to inhabit, but I'm just not one of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's much better than the film. The film, that's a relatively low bar to clear. The film was rubbish, wasn't it?
It was not good.
This is much better and is, you know, it's got a nicely kind of slightly comedic tone to it. So like the titles of the episodes are things like the first episode is titled "I Accidentally Vaporized My Pre-Algebra Teacher." There's a kind of nicely charming slash kind of wryly funny voiceover. I noticed directed these first few episodes directed by James Bobin, who, do you know who James Bobin is, Kay?
Nope.
He worked on Ali G back in the day. And
in the house.
Yeah. And
the house.
Co-created Flight of the Conchords with the people who were the Conchords, if you like. So he knows what he's doing when it comes to comedy, and he's directed quite a few he kind of specializes in fantasy with a vein of comedy running through. So he's kind of the perfect person to direct this show. And I think he does a really good job. I think the VFX were good of the creatures. I thought, you know, James would probably have, I don't know, examples of some kind of
what a dreadful compositing.
Some compositing issues.
No, it was
but
fine.
I thought it was fine. It looked fine on my laptop. I'm a little bit like Kay, though. I enjoyed it while it was on, and I thought they did a really good job, kind of as good a job as you could possibly do with this material. I think the material I'm like, you know, it's kind of like a mix between Harry Potter and 5,000 other different kind of YA, early teeny fantasy type things. And I know it sounds, but I just think there's nothing that original about it.
It skews and, young.
Yeah, well, yes, that is, I think, the key issue here. It skews young.
It does. And it doesn't come out of well from the Harry Potter comparison.
No, and this first episode also is all set up because it's all about Camp Half-Blood, and they don't even get there, really, until the second episode. And it skews young. Like, it really does. Like, I have a lot of time for YA stuff, but this isn't quite YA. It's actually more sort of like the older end of childhood rather than the younger end of YA.
Young child.
So OC? The OC. It's OC, older childhood. So it is, because like Rip Riordan kind of, I guess, is like 8-9 year old is what it's aimed at, roughly. They're about 7, 8, 9 maybe. So this does feel quite young. It's quite sanitized. It's, you know, the main characters, you know, how old is he?
12.
Yeah. So it feels like, you know, I always think with those kind of things, yeah, it's preteen. Yeah, exactly that. I was thinking, if you look at the age of the main character, that's pretty much who it's aimed at. And I think it is. I think that's very much what it is. So it does a decent enough job of adapting the source. It is better than the film. Sorry, Logan Lerman. I felt like, because I suppose Harry Potter is aimed young, but there's something about Harry Potter which is like, because it's so out there and it's such a vividly drawn world and it's so magical, you do find yourself kind of getting sucked in despite yourself. This, though, however, while not a slog, did not capture my imagination particularly.
The other thing that reminded me was Lockwood & Co. And Lockwood & Co. is so much better.
But
so
Lockwood & Co. had more edge.
Oh, no, totally.
And was clearly aimed
100%.
Older.
Yeah. But how old was the main character in Lockwood & Co.? Like 14, maybe?
Older than that, I think. I always thought he was about 16, 17, Lockwood.
Right, okay.
I could be wrong, but that was certainly how I read it. But and also that's really scary. Like, kids couldn't watch that. Kids could definitely watch this.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a hit for kids. Like, and if you have kids, absolutely, this is something you should consider showing to them. But, I can't say that I would recommend it as essential viewing otherwise.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, it lands on Disney Plus. When, Boydie?
December 20th. 20th.
20th.
December 20th, as it shall henceforth be known, on Disney Plus, which
Wednesday? Is that a Wednesday?
Well, yes. In fact, it is a birthday present from Disney Plus to me.
Oh.
For 'tis my birthday.
Lovely.
That is not so how I'll be spending my birthday, but yes.
You know, your birthday is 3 days after Kay's, 3 days before Kay's birthday.
Mm. That is.
And how many days after yours?
Well, like 17. Yeah. But still, Sagittarius.
Yeah. We're a big old Sagittarian or Sagittarion for Battlestar Galactica.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm Cap.
Sorry, did I get your goat there?
Oh,
hey.
James.
It's on fire.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Only, and then he'll be heading down to HMV.
Ouch. Right. Nice callback. Let's get to our last show of the week. And finally, we have The Winter King. This is based on The Warlord Chronicles by Bernard Cornwell, who also wrote The Saxon Chronicles, featuring my beloved Uhtred of Bebbanburg. This one, of course, takes place 400-odd years earlier than that, though, and is a tale of King Arthur, or I guess what would have happened if King Arthur had kind of lived in Camden and been heavily into Slipknot. Boydie, did you like this Lancelot, or did you more dread it? I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I rather enjoyed this. It's on ITVX, and it's definitely the kind of thing that they would never have done. I don't think ITV itself would ever have done without the fact that they created this streaming service, ITVX, when eventually everything that's on ITVX will be shown on ITV1, as this will.
Yeah.
But this has got such a kind of like big genre, epic quality to it. And it's kind of got quite an uncompromising adaptation of the... I haven't read the source material, but it feels like
it's a streamer feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just feels like very streamy. Yeah, yeah. It feels very Netflix-y, Amazon Prime-y, Disney-y, Disney Plus-y.
Apple-y.
Not Apple TV Plus-y, because it hasn't got the Apple TV sheen of joy.
Yes, it would be Apple TV if they'd added a couple of zeros onto the budget.
Yeah.
Apple TV Lite.
Yeah. Yeah. But...
Apple TV Core.
Exactly, yeah. Steady.
Look, he was so happy.
Yeah, he's fantastic today.
He was so pleased with himself that his eyebrows shot up.
Yeah, they really have.
Oh, God. It's nearly Christmas.
It also, I think what's impressive, at least about the first episode, which is over an hour long, by the way, is that it's got a lot, it manages to introduce the main character. So Arthur, these are, basically, it's another version of the King Arthur story and Merlin. But from a different point of view, it's like a different take on those classic legendary characters and this whole setting. So it begins with Arthur rescuing, in the 5th century Britain, rescuing a young dude called Durfal, who has been impaled in a particularly nasty and violent scene by these marauding Saxon bastards, basically. Mm. And the impalement is pretty hardcore, I have to say. And it reminded me of previous impalements on TV. Of course, there's Alan Partridge when he impaled his foot on the spike on his way to
not to be all I think you're fine, but I think you find that Durfal is himself a Saxon, and he's impaled by the snaky people whose name the Solutions something like that.
Isn't he a slave?
He's a Saxon slave.
Oh, okay. Right, that's fine.
So the question I often had, because I'm not so good with Arthurian legend, but because obviously the Saxon Chronicles about the Saxons, in this the Saxons are the villains.
Yes.
So Are the main guys the Angles?
I don't know. Who knows?
Who came before the Saxons? If you have a history degree, please write in and tell us.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? I don't. But yeah, you're right to point that out. Thank you. So then Durfal is left in the care of his friend of Merlin, basically, who's like a druid leader, played by Nathaniel Martello White. And there's also a druidess called Nimue, played by Ellie James, and they kind of look after Durfal. Meanwhile, Arthur's banished by his father, High King
Eddie Marsan.
Who's brilliantly.
Yeah.
So you first get the impalement scene, which is heavy and violent enough, and you then get this quite long, lengthy scene in which Eddie Marsan is really horrible to his poor bastard son.
He is a nasty bastard.
He's a raging twat. The impalement actually comes after the Eddie Marsan scene. Yeah.
See how long ago I watched this?
Yeah.
I watched it like weeks and weeks ago. I went to the screening.
I wasn't invited. There you go. You get your revenge.
Yeah, there you go. So this kind of quite lengthy, talky scene, but it's absolutely brilliant because Eddie Marsan is so horrible and nasty to his bastard son, and you know, but hasn't got any other options because his other son's fucked up and
died.
Yeah, and it's just a brilliant sequence. And I think I remember at the time the Q&A at the launch I went to, the creator was talking about how ITV1 were like, yeah, you can have this really long extended scene, which is basically people having shouting at each other, talking to each other, but it works really well introducing those characters. And Eddie Marsan underlines how fantastic he is, because he is an absolute
He's great.
He's terrifying and horrible and nasty. And then the whole thing kind of gets more into the medieval world of Arthur Merlin and their associates. And Ian de Castica, I think, is very good as the heroic figure. But he's like a normal, as you say, you make reference to his Camden visual quality.
Well, there's a grubbiness to it, isn't it? There's a real, no sheen to this at all. It's muddy, it's bloody, it's
icy,
dirty.
Snowy, dirty.
Yeah, the weather is awful.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like Camden.
It is like Camden, yeah. But, you know, I thought it was well made. You know, not a huge budget, but big enough. It looks good.
Yeah. Didn't look like they cut too many corners.
Exactly. You know. Well cast. I think the characters are interesting. I think I'd probably carry on watching it at some point. I mean, not urgently, but I think I will, because I think it's just about compelling enough.
I felt like it was a lesser Cornwell to me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's up there with the Saxon Chronicles, but I wonder whether that's, you know, because no one talks like a Viking. So that's presumably like a, that's a mark against it. But I think
it's the, a mark for it.
Yeah. Alexander Draiman's character in The Last Kingdom, like, is so, it's very compelling. Like, he's lost his birthright. He's taken away by Vikings. He's raised as a Viking, and then his Viking family gets attacked. Do you know what? There's a lot happening, like a lot of human interest early on. And while here you have, you know, essentially a son cast out by his father and exiled, you know, they take their time over the exiling, as we've discussed. It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
But it's not, it wasn't as grabby. And it may well, you know, get there. And they are obviously working to source materials. No one's fault here. But it, it didn't, you know, because I was very excited about this because I love Last Kingdom so much. And
of
yet I didn't,
you do, yeah.
Maybe it was the lack of Vikings. I don't know. But this didn't grab me quite as much. But it's, you know, it's good. It's interesting. It's bloody. It's nasty. It's violent. It's all of those good things. I mean, it puts the dark in Dark Ages without a shadow of a doubt. But, you know, I don't know. I we'll see. We'll see is the answer
we'll
to that.
See.
The jury is still
see.
Out
King
on
Arthur
this.
King Arthur, we'll see.
That's right.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this.
Did you?
Yeah. I really...
That surprises me.
I know. It surprised me. I was watching... Because I had to watch it at work. And when I found out how long it was, because we were just...
Oh, I bet you were furious.
No, just because I thought we're going to run out of time. But actually... I was like, I need to watch all of this. I just don't know. I think it's because, obviously, you know, it starts off, as you say, it's like a domestic, it's like a family drama,
yeah.
right? And I was so outraged. Like, Eddie Marsden is amazing.
It's like the royal family with broadswords.
Pretty much, right? And so he is fantastic in that role because he's a real nasty bastard. And you feel really bad for his bastard son. And yeah, and also I spent a long time thinking one of the people in that scene was Adam Driver. Do you know what I mean? One of them really looked like Adam
Driver. No, which one?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the cast.
Wow.
I don't know if it's Billy Postlethwaite. I don't know. But one of them, I was like, wait, is that Adam Driver? But yeah, no, I just thought it was really good. And like, talk about tough love. I mean, that scene, I think it's worse than the impaling. Like, just watching him kind of be very brutal with
his
son.
It's brutal. I mean, it's not one to take parenting tips from, I'm saying.
No.
But yeah, suffice to say, like, there were some bits I didn't get because, you know, like, I sometimes need a web diagram with all the different tribes. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think I will watch subsequent episodes.
Oh, maybe I'll graduate you onto the Saxon Chronicles, get your Uhtred on.
Do you know what?
Maybe not.
One of my best friend likes that.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's always going, son of, you know, that impression that you're doing.
Uhtred up there, Ben Bear.
She does that to me and I have to put her in.
Uhtred, son of Ragnar.
I put her on a timeout.
And
I'm like,
Sophie Petzl writes some of that, doesn't she?
She writes some episodes, of Last Kingdom. Yeah, that's right.
Well, maybe. We'll
it's quite confusing, The Last Kingdom and what's this one called?
this one is called The Winter King.
It's quite similar titles.
I believe The Winter King was the first book in Cornwell's Warlord.
He's very productive, isn't he? Because these books are massive, aren't they?
I mean, the man writes, has written so many books. It's
incredible.
Absolutely insane.
Incredible.
So do you think I would like The Last Kingdom?
I don't see why not. It's great.
Maybe I'll give it a go.
Who doesn't like a bit of Viking action?
I mean, indeed.
Yeah. Well, that was The Winter King. And The Winter King airs on... The ITVX.
Thursday, ITVX. Always Thursday for ITVX. These are easy
always
to remember.
Thursday.
Always Thursday. Good, you know, good on their part, yeah. I think originally the plan was for them to show 5 episodes. It's 10 episodes, this first series. And they were going to show 5 arriving on Thursday, the 21st of December, and then the next 5 a week later. But I think they're putting them all out on the Thursday now.
All out?
Yeah.
As a Winter King Christmas box set.
Yes.
That's very exciting. What else is out this week that we've missed?
Well, this is my point that I made earlier, that, you know, you've got the whole fucking Christmas, basically, coming up.
Boydie, what have we got coming up over Christmas?
I will
tell
you. There's Beyond Paradise is back, which Kay is a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Christmas Eve, 9 o'clock, BBC One. Mog's Christmas, this is big animation on Channel 4.
Like Megan Mogg?
Yeah, Megan Mogg is
Meg Mogg and Owl.
Judith Kerr's Mogg, played by, well, one of the cast are Benedict Cumberbatch, Claire Foy, Zoe Ashton, incredible voice cast in that.
I used to love the Megan Mogg books.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, who knew? Why?
No, I did. Genuinely, when I was a little kid, I loved the Meg Mogg and Owl books.
I mean, why shouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? Exactly.
The last episode of Ghosts ever.
Oh, yes, it's the Christmas special.
Christmas
it's the
Day.
Finale, isn't it?
Christmas Day finale, 7:45 p.m.
What If season 2 on the 22nd on Disney Plus?
There you go.
EastEnders on Christmas Day.
EastEnders on Christmas Day, the big whodunit storyline.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tribute to Carolina Hearn. There's a whole night of Carolina Hearn based stuff on BBC Two on Christmas Day, which is brilliant. I think it was her birthday on Christmas Day as well, so that works out very well. Call the Midwife, Christmas special, which is traditional on Christmas Day as well. I know James is particularly a big fan.
I am very excited about that. Oh, Mrs. Brown's Boys, the TV show.
The TV show. Yeah. Back for its very, very traditional Christmas and New Year special.
Last one?
Vera.
he says hopefully.
It's not. They'll carry on forever. Vera is back on Christmas Day on ITV. Death in Paradise, back on Boxing Day on BBC One. I'm just going through.
Based on a true story, comes to Sky Max, I seem to recall, on the 29th.
I think you're right, yes. Yeah. That's supposed to be really good. That's like an America. I think it's like a satire on true crime, isn't it?
That's a satire, not a satire, which is what you'd find in Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Exactly.
That's what Grover is.
Exactly. Wednesday 27th is Kay's Murder is Easy. Kay Ribeiro's Murder is Easy.
Highly recommend.
Is it good? Really good?
Yes, I like it. Even though it hasn't got Poirot in, and you know I'm obsessed with Poirot, it is good.
ITV1 is showing Nolly, which is Russell T Davies' original on ITVX. They're showing that from Wednesday, consecutive nights, three nights, Wednesday the 27th.
Aren't people able to get their Coburn on over Christmas?
What do you mean?
Holland Coburn.
Oh, yes.
Because Fool Me Once is New Year's Day, isn't it?
New Year's Day, yeah.
On Netflix. Sorry, I've skipped ahead, Boydie. Carry on.
You know, I'm roughly going in order, but you just jumped ahead.
I've skipped ahead.
You
anarchist. Yeah, that you are. Friday, Mortar and White House Go Fishing special, which I love. Oh, Men Up. There's a one-off feature-length drama, which is not a film.
With Ewan Rheon.
Exactly. Ewan Rheon and Anaren Bernard. Mm. And Joanna Page, and that is produced by the company that Russell T Davies runs. And he was at the launch I saw this week in Wales, and that looks very good, actually. Drama. And it's about the creation of Viagra, the drug that turned into Viagra, and that's why it's hence the title Men Up. The treat of the entire Christmas holiday season.
Oh,
bring it on!
Big claim
is on the 29th of December on BBC Two at 10 o'clock. The Kemps.
Oh God.
The follow-up to one of the funniest TV shows ever, a spoof mockumentary about Gary Kemp and Martin Kemp of Spandau Ballet. It's fucking hilarious. I saw that at the launch recently. It's really, really good. And on we go, because this is the Christmas New Double issue, and I'm afraid we don't have an episode coming out covering...
Because of my laziness.
Because of James's laziness.
Yeah.
They're reshowing the Friends Reunion on the Sky.
Don't tell him that.
Sorry. but they are, so I have to mention it. Nothing much on New Year's Eve. Oh, The Famous Five arrives on...
Famously.
iPlayer. Famously produced by Nicholas Winding Refn. This is the Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I mean, who put those two things together?
Absolutely. Mm. So from 11:30 a.m, you can watch it on BBC One, and you can watch it on iPlayer, I think, earlier than that. And actually, I've heard it's supposed to be really good. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but apparently it's not perverse like Nicholas Winding Refn films are. It's just really good and really well made. Then we get to New Year's Day, which is a huge day for drama, with the return of The Tourist.
Season 2.
And yes. I interviewed, just today in fact, I interviewed Jamie Dornan, which I think we're putting that out on our Christmas Day.
Yes, that will go out on our Review of the Year special.
Review of the special, and he was in tremendous form. And at the same time, that's 9 o'clock BBC One, at the same time on ITV1 is Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, which stars Toby Jones and Julie Hesmanhout. And this tells the true story of the people who were accused by the Post Office of stealing money. And it was actually down to their fucking ridiculous computer system. And it's one of the most powerful, moving, emotional dramas I've seen in a long, long time. It's slightly annoying, I think, that these two shows clash. I know, obviously, they'll both be streamed. You can find them on there. Yeah. Different, but I think they're both absolutely brilliant. These are both New Year's Day. Honestly, they're contenders for best show of the year. When we do this time at the end of 2024, they will be contenders, honestly, because they're both absolutely brilliant. I think they're fantastic. You know, there's the Peaky Blinders ballet. Do you remember I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's on BBC Four that day, New Year's Day. So there's a lot on that day. Should we go beyond that Tuesday? No, that's fine. Oh, what we do in the Shadows new series on BBC Two on Tuesday, the 2nd of January.
The Traitors is back on the 3rd of January.
Yes.
James, are you going to watch it?
No.
Live?
No, I'm not.
What?
didn't we force you to watch it?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought
it
was good.
Yeah, he said it was good. And he said when it was on next time, you would watch it with us.
No, I thought it was good in the way that Kay thinks things are good, which he goes, no, I really liked it. Are you going to watch it more? No. It's one of those.
Was that an impersonation?
Apparently so.
Slightly high pitched. Anyway.
Apparently so.
Wednesday, the 3rd of January, True Love is on Channel 4. Haven't we interviewed Clark Peters for this, I imagine? That?
We actually have. Right. We have interviewed Clark Peters for this, and that will air in the first pilot after the new year, which is right. on the 8th, Monday the 8th.
Okay. Well, that this is Channel 4. It sounds quite bold. I haven't seen it. This launch happened while I was away in New York. You didn't go to it, Ken? It starts, the whole cast is in their 70s, and it's about assisted suicide and the kind of morality of that and of having trying to find a dignified death. But the cast is fantastic. Sue Johnston, Peter Egan, Lindsay Duncan, Clark Peters, Carl Johnson, they're all brilliant, brilliant actors. So that's that looks very good. He said making a loud magazine turning.
Accused comes to Paramount Plus on the 4th.
Does it?
It does. Oh, okay. Well, oh, okay. So when you say does it, I'm like, yes, yes, it does. Or rather, I have written it on the calendar for the 4th.
Right.
Whether that's accurate or not,
which
who
one
knows?
Is that? Which one's that?
It's the Paramount Plus one, and it's the one that's called Accused.
Okay, fine. Well, Julia definitely comes to Sky Atlantic now.
Season 2 of
season
Julia.
Season 2 on Thursday the 4th. With Sarah Lancashire, proving, I mean, a character that could not be more opposite to Catherine Kayward, of course. Mm-hmm. So that does arrive on that day. There probably are some streaming things I might have left out, actually, so let me just double check those. The Basis on Two Stars, you said that that's on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
There is the one we went to see with the food.
The Castaways.
The Castaways, which is Boxing Day, yes. So, The Castaways, starring Sheridan Smith, which we watched the first episode of and was very compelling, I thought,
yeah,
and gripping.
Definitely.
Paramount Plus, Boxing Day, all 5 episodes available of that. And there's probably other streaming things I'm missing out.
I mean, that's enough to be
Ricky Gervais's, the recording of Ricky Gervais's
Armageddon.
His new stand-up.
On Christmas Day on Netflix. I mean, that's enough. But this is why we should have had the extra episode.
All right, well, listen.
All of which was Boyd's passive-aggressive way of saying that me refusing to do another episode so was a disservice
all,
to everyone.
To be fair to James, we all need a long lie down.
Yeah,
separately.
And not to put too fine a point on that, I'm sure Kay would have been delighted if I'd said, oh yeah, by the way, so we've got a couple of episodes we're going to do over the Christmas holidays. Yeah, that would have gone down well, I think.
I would have done that, James. Don't try shit. Yeah, don't. Look at him. Look at that little rat.
I mean, Boydie, yeah. I would have done it. I would absolutely have done it. But Kay, you know, I'm thinking of Kay.
Oh. A Very Brassic Christmas. I forgot that one.
Yes.
That's on Thursday the 21st on Sky Max. There's
I watched
so much.
That. I really like
All
that.
Creatures Great and Small. Here We Go, Christmas Special. Here We Go is a really funny sitcom on BBC One. Like Friday, 8:30, Friday the 22nd.
All
I
the
mean,
things you
I've
could have heard about
now.
If James wasn't such a lazy bastard.
Exactly.
Do we have a pick of the Christmas? No, well, let's stick with the pick of the week. What do we have?
This week.
I'm going to say The Winter King.
One for The Winter King.
Yeah, I might go along with that, actually.
Boydie's Winter King.
I think so.
I would also go Winter King. Yeah. So I guess
it's
Winter King is the king of this week. And it's winter, so that works out quite well. Exciting times. I guess that's it, guys.
It must be. We're at the 3-hour mark.
Oh, yeah, there's also an Imagine on Rusty Davis on Monday
Boyd,
night when this goes out.
Boyd, stop. Just stop now. Stop. Stop.
He never switches
People
off.
Have enough TV to get on with. They don't need any more.
No, there's more.
Leave them alone. Oh, my word. This is our last regular show of 2023. So on the reg, indeed. So we will have, obviously, a Pilot Plus on Thursday. Thank you again for subscribing. And we'll have a Review of the Year special, which will be dropping on Christmas morning as a special treat.
Oh, what a treat. The Adam and Joe podcast. Adam Buxton does his podcast special every, puts it on Christmas Day morning, which with Joe Corner.
So that's who we're competing with?
We're competing with that.
Okay. Yeah, we're competing for ear space with Adam and Joe.
Yeah.
And we'll have a, that'll be it. That's it. So we've got one Pilot Plus and one Review of the Year, and then we are
that
done until the 8th of January because I am just that lazy.
A monster.
A monster, indeed. But thank you very much for listening. You know, that's delightful. If you would like to show
you
your appreciation.
If you've indeed made it to the end of this episode.
If you've made it to the end of this episode, please.
I'm sick and tired of the sound of my own voice, by the way.
No, never.
Please do head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5 business class seat rating for Boyd. And, you know, do follow us on social media. I mean, Boyd, frankly, don't follow Boyd because he has enough followers already. But follow me and Kay because, frankly, we could use the help at Kay Ribera, at James C. Dyer. Also, at Pilot TV Pod, which is where you'll be sending all of your missives for Kay next year.
Do you know what? I'm looking forward to doing
it. So am I.
No, we're going to have fun with this.
Kay's going to be sending out some tweets about, like, you know, the what is it? The God. That would be funny if I remember
the
title.
Just have a little think. Come on.
The Traitors.
The Traitors.
Yes.
Oh God.
Sorry.
Oh God, indeed. So what are you guys doing for Christmas?
Oh.
Just lying down, literally just falling asleep and lying down, being fed loads of nice food and mainlining some good TV.
Yeah, similar. I've got lots of BAFTA films to watch as well because I'm a BAFTA films voter.
Oh, are you?
Boy, do you ever switch off?
No. This very night, James, by the way, listeners, this very evening, James and I are going to see Hot the day. Stranger Things play.
We're going to the theatre.
Which, if we had another podcast, which we now, we could talk about that.
That is true. We but could we talk about, maybe we'll talk about it in the new year, yeah. what the Stranger Things play was like.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's like a TV hybrid. TV
that's right, yeah. It's like a prequel theatrical experience, yeah, a prequel to Stranger Things.
So that's exciting, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
What about you, James? What will you be doing at Christmas?
A lot of episodes of Banshee to watch, if I'm honest with you.
He'll be in his Christmas onesie.
My Christmas onesie, yeah. Watching Banshee on the sofa. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite possibly true. I have a lot to get through because, like, we're supposed to be doing a For All Mankind spoiler special. Second week of January or something.
Again, not invited. No idea.
No, you are invited. But crucially, I'm
first
not because I still haven't watched season three.
I've bloody heard of it.
You can't be invited. You've literally just mentioned it now.
If I don't get on with that over Christmas, then I'm not going to be able to participate. So that's, you know, impetus to do that. So we'll see.
And also, we've got the Britt Marling, Zal Batmanage chat. When's that going out?
Was Zal in there as well? I thought it was just Britt Marling.
No, just Britt, you're right.
Oh, I was going to say, did you just factor, did Zal just drop by?
He's very jet-lagged.
He is very jet-lagged. Yes, on this Thursday's Pilot Plus,
okay.
We will be putting out our final It's Only Murders at the End of the World
right.
spoiler special, and your Britt Marling spoiler interview will go on the end of that as another special festive treat for Pilot Plus subscribers.
Just check it.
Well, I think we're done. We'll see you on Christmas morning. Until then, a very Merry Christmas from all of us at Pilot TV. A very Christmassy Pilot out.